Welcome to Whitefields Church Podcast. Our focus is to help you grow relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope you enjoy the message.
All of God's commands are important, but many of them are attitudes of the heart. Love one another, love your enemies as yourself. So these are attitudes of our heart that the Holy Spirit has to develop in us. Because when we first get saved, we don't love our enemies. It says, make no record of wrongs against you. Well, it's easy to have a record of how people have offended you. So you have to grow in your faith. Because these are attitudes. But this is different. It says go. So it involves our bodies actually moving. And it just doesn't say go into your neighborhood or go across the street to the grocery store. All of that's involved, but it says go into all the world. You know, when Jesus spoke this, they didn't know that America existed, North America and South America. They vaguely knew that China existed, but not really. The world was a lot smaller place to them. The Roman Empire was all they knew. And the world's a very big place. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. And when you get there, preach the good news. Preach the good news to everyone. So, we all know that this is the Great Commission, but, you know, it's not easy to do. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to have an attitude today where I'm pounding on your head, hey, you have to go to the world and preach the gospel. You know, we have an enemy that is resisting us doing that. And so, there's no condemnation in Christ. We have this command. It is a command. In the Greek, it's the verb tense is a command. It's to go. But we have a devil that resists us. And so let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 to 14. I want us to understand that it's not easy to obey any of God's commands. It's not easy to forgive those who have hurt you. It's not easy to love your enemies. And it's not easy to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 to 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand. Okay, there's the first stand. Now, in King James, it says stand, in the American Stand Version, it says stand strong, stand firm. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So it says that the world is in the lap of the wicked one. So all around us, the whole society we live in, the whole world that we live in, teaches us not to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It puts fear in our hearts. It puts a doubt that we're able to have any effect. And it throws all kinds of curves at us. I'm not qualified. I'm too shy. We have all these excuses, and the world puts those excuses on us. It's not God that puts those excuses on us. There's a devil out there that has made it difficult to obey any of God's commands. How do you love your enemies? When they want to kill you, you know? Well, it's because they're made in God's image. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the devil.
Right.
And his demon forces, and his rulers and powers and all those things. So, let's continue here, verse 12. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand.
Yes.
So, and then verse 14 starts out, stand, therefore. I'm not going to read the rest of verse 14. But we got three stands here in a couple verses.
Right.
So the Lord is telling us, when you've done everything you can, and you haven't got very far, the goal is to go in all the world and preach the gospel. I've been saved for 51 years, and I haven't done very much of that. And I don't want to give up.
Yeah.
I don't want to flee from the devil because the devil's attacking me. I don't want to just say it's too hard. I don't want to argue with God. God says go.
Right.
So I want to go. I don't know how to go, but he does. I don't have the ability to go, but he has the ability in me for me to go. You got that? So, when you've done everything you can, so all of us, we have a history, however many years we've been saved, of how we have responded to this command of going into all the world. We can all say, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. And we can all say, you know, I missed this opportunity, and I missed that opportunity, and I blew it here. And the Lord said to do this, but I got afraid, or whatever. His mercies are new every day.
Yeah.
His mercies are new every day. So he says, when you've done all you can, stand. Okay. Now, when I was studying this, the Lord told me to look up the first mention of stand in the Bible. So I said, okay. Well, it's in Genesis chapter 24. Now, when you see, there's a principle in Bible study that the first mention of a word in the Bible is important.
Yeah.
And normally when you do that, you use the King James. Because that's the authorized version. Okay? Now if you want to be technical, you use the Greek or the Hebrew.
Amen.
But you use the King James. So I'm just putting this study together here. I have no idea that the message is going to be about standing. I think it's going to go into all the world. And it's both. But the Lord said, I want you to look up the first mention of standing in the Bible. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4, 24, I mean, and we're going to read to verse 13. And I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to give the interpretation, okay? So bear with me. Put your reading glasses on. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose a woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, "O Lord, the God of my father Abraham, please grant me success today and show love and kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing," now the King James says, "I stand by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water." So here's the stand, mention of stand in Genesis. So let me unpack this story for you, okay? So stories in the Old Testament are often about Jesus. So two chapters before this is the famous chapter where God told Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, which pictures the cross. Here we are two chapters later. Abraham in this story pictures God the Father. Abraham is the father of our faith. His son Isaac, that he's looking for a bride for, pictures Jesus. The servant pictures us.
Yeah.
God is sending us into all the world to find a bride for his son, Jesus. So when we go into all the world to preach the gospel, we are actually going to find a bride for the son. And so, I want that thought to motivate you into going into all the world. That this is a love story.
Yeah.
This is a love story. Now, Father God, before time began, wanted a family that wasn't just Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he created mankind.
Yeah.
And, you know, he already created angels, but he didn't want the angels to be his family. He wanted somebody made in his image and likeness to be his family.
Yeah.
And the man and the woman in the garden were told to keep the garden. It means to guard it, because the devil was in the world.
Right.
And so God told Adam and Eve to guard the garden, but they didn't. And so we're all born in sin. And so the bride that Father God wanted for his son had to be redeemed by Jesus going to the cross. Okay? So whatever sacrifice any of us could make to go into all the world and preach the gospel is small, infinitesimal compared to the price that Jesus paid. Because he was in all eternity with the Father, full of glory, full of honor, and he didn't have to come and die for you and me. When the world was so sinful that Noah found favor with God, and God was going to destroy the whole human race. But he found one man that was faithful.
Right.
And because of that one man, we're here today. Now, God could have wiped out the whole human race and we would have never known. Because we would have never been born, right? We wouldn't have even known. But he created us in his image, and he sent the Holy Spirit to redeem us. We're here by his grace, because he loves us.
Right.
And we're destined to be with him for all eternity. But he's not happy that we're destined to be with him for all eternity, because there's others out there. Millions, millions, billions. I've been to India, they just worship idols. They're in darkness. Over a billion people. Over 1.3 billion people in India, 2% of that is 130 million. You've still got over 1.2 billion people in India that are just serving idols. Jesus, so we know the end of the story. I'm not going to read the end of the story. Rebecca goes with a servant and becomes the wife of Isaac. And out of Isaac comes Jacob and Esau. And so I don't need to read the rest of the story. But when the servant went out, the servant represents us. We're servants of God. And we're going to find a bride for Jesus. Now, when we go, we got 10 camels. And the camels are loaded with a variety of good things of his master. Now, 10 speaks of fullness or completion.
Right.
When we go, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have our testimony. We have the angels go before us. God goes before us. And so when we go into all the world, we're going with the good news.
Yeah.
We got these camels carrying the good news with us. So we get there. We go wherever we're going to go. And this is the servant's attitude. He stands.
Yeah.
He stands. And what does he do when he stands? He prays.
Right.
He prays for success. He prays that God will show loving kindness to Abraham. Now, loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed, which is the closest word we have in the Old Testament for God's unconditional love. And you find it all through the Old Testament. Loving kindness. Tender mercy, sometimes it's translated as. So the servant is praying for success. Success in what? Finding a bride for his master's son.
Right. Yeah.
And he's praying for that God will show loving kindness to Abraham, which represents God.
Yeah.
So God is well pleased whenever anybody gets saved.
Right.
The angels rejoice. And there's no more wonderful thing to lead somebody to the Lord, because it's what God wants is for the whole world to be saved.
Yeah.
And we're living in a time when there's wars, there's all kinds of conflicts. Israel is at war. Israel is God's covenant nation. And there's this thing called replacement theology that says, you know, promises God made to Israel no longer apply. Well, that's not true.
Right.
God promised the land of Israel to Abraham and his descendants. And you see how the devil wars against that. The devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't want God to succeed. The devil doesn't want people to get saved.
No.
The devil doesn't want people to be healthy. He doesn't want us to be prosperous. He's prosperous. He steals, kills, and destroys.
Yeah.
And the whole world is in ignorance. You go to Muslim countries, they're in darkness. We live in America that has to have a foundation of the gospel, and we don't even realize how blessed we are until we go to some of these other places that are just steeped in idolatry and all kinds of crazy things. Anyway, it's the ultimate love story, okay? And Jesus says, go in all the world, preach the gospel. Put on the whole armor of God. And pray for success and don't flee. Stand.
Right.
Stand your ground. Don't flee. Don't give up. Maybe you've had a lousy track record in the past. It's okay. God forgives. God renews. He loves us. And he's equipping us more and more. And I pray you go out of here today encouraged.
Yes.
Encouraged. Because God is with us. We're his favorite ones. Now, I felt the Lord yesterday morning give me a word. So I'm just going to speak this word. It's not up there. Hear the word of the Lord. Why am I sending you into all the world? It is surely to procure a bride for my beloved son. My son paid the ultimate price for his bride. Yes, and he will have the ultimate reward. He is seated by my side, awaiting a bride that will be by his side. His bride will be like him. I have issued the command, go in all the world and preach the good news. Go, because many who have been invited will not come. So go, others there are who will come to the wedding. Holy Spirit will help you. Stand where you are and call out to me. I will make your way prosperous. Surely those who do my will shall find that I am with them to lead them and bless them. Okay, now, Ezra and Valerie have handouts to give to everybody. And so, one of you take this side, one of you take that side, go ahead and pass these all around. And so, this is the third year that I've encouraged people to support a missionary in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And so we have a number of people that have sponsored a missionary in the previous last 2 years. And last year, I decided that I like this idea so much, I'm gonna sponsor two missionaries.
Go, Bob.
And this year, I upped the ante. I'm going to support three.
All right.
Now, I think up here you have the two missionaries that I support. So, Brother Dan is the one that I got last year. And so he's in the Delta area of Vietnam. Now, I've been to Vietnam before, but not in the Delta area, Mekong Delta. And he's one of the missionaries I support. And how this support works is it's $30 a month for a year. And you can give, put the offering in missions, just put missions if you want to sign up or renew your sign up. It's $30 a month. No, it's $25 a month, I'm sorry. It's $300 a year. So do your math. $300 divided by 12 is $25 a month. And so what you're doing is, it's a team effort. So every missionary, so the countries where these people are, it's sponsored by Asia Harvest. And they're mostly in India, Nepal, Myanmar, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, China. My other missionary is in Indonesia. So in those places, if you're especially in a rural area, you can support your family at $100, $150 a month. And so you're $25 a month, you're partnering with four or five other people that you don't know around the world that are supporting this missionary. And so there's four or five or six different people supporting each missionary. And what you do is when you sign up, you get a card like this. Can you show the other card? So anyway, it says what year he was born. And Brother Yost, this isn't his real picture because they don't post the real pictures of Muslim missionaries. But he's in don't tell me I forgot. Anyway, he's on Java, on the far east of Java, amongst the Madura people. And the Madura people are looked down upon by the Javanese because they're mostly uneducated farmers and fishermen. And they are very strict Muslims. And so I'm very honored to be able to pray for Brother Yost and support him. He and his wife disciple somewhere around 60 or 70 different people that he's led to the Lord, and he's always going out preaching the gospel and in a very difficult area. So I've been supporting him for 2 years now, and I'm going to go on to year number three. And so I got this scripture here, 2 Timothy 4:5. But you be sober in all things, Paul speaking to Timothy, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill the ministry. So I'm not an evangelist. I don't know that we have an evangelist in this congregation. We got pastors, we got an apostle and prophet. I don't know that we have an evangelist. Lord, send us an evangelist. But it says, even though you're not an evangelist, do the work of an evangelist. One way you can do the work of an evangelist is to support an evangelist. And I'll tell you that I have known Asia Harvest for over 40 years. They are well-reputed, spirit-filled people. They have hundreds of evangelists that they support. They are all connected with local churches, so the people that they lead to the Lord are plugged into their local churches. They're all recommended by their local churches. They're all supported. The funds go to the local church. The local church disperses the funds to these people. So they're all accountable. Every year they need to give an account to Asia Harvest of their activities. So let me put this in context. $300. You know, I can fly to Asia for $1,500 maybe, $1,800. And then when I get there, I don't speak the language, but these guys do. I don't know the culture. It's so hot I can barely survive. You know, one time I was in India, it was 120.
Oh, geez.
There were 10 or 12 of us walking. We had a case of water bottles. There were 10 or 12 of us. I drank half the case.
Yeah.
Some of the other people didn't even drink anything. So you go to these places, you spend all this money, and maybe you find some success, maybe you don't. You know, we don't have a full-time missionary from our church that we're supporting. We don't have anybody, and I'd love to see somebody just rise up and say, hey, I want to be a missionary.
Yeah.
If you want to be a missionary overseas somewhere, the missions fund, which I'm in charge of, will make sure we'll support you.
Yeah.
But we don't have anyone like that. But we can support people like I've been supporting for $300.
Yes.
$300. That's not much. And so I'm putting in a plug, okay? Listen, it's money well spent.
Yeah,
amen.
That is true.
Now there's no, you know, I understand people got financial problems. You know, I found that when I have a financial problem, the Lord will tell me to give.
Yeah.
And my problem will go away. Because I'm honoring the Lord.
Yes, good word.
And, you know, there's lots of different ways to give.
Yeah.
To go into all the world. A lot of different ways to go into all the world.
Right.
You know, if this isn't for you, that's fine. You know, we got Christmas Child coming up pretty soon. We're going to take offerings for Christmas Child. Lots of different ways that we can give. But I just put that up. It's a sign-up sheet. If you want to give, you can put your name, put a check mark, and I'm not gonna check on you whether you've given your $25 this month. It's just on the honor system. You got a whole year to get the $300. I'm gonna send a check. If 10 people sign up, I'm gonna send a check for $3,000 to Asia Harvest in a week or two, and you're covered for the year. You got the whole year to pay your pledge. It just goes into missions. And this is the third year we're doing that. And good people in this congregation have been supporting a missionary. Does anybody want to give a testimony of their support for a missionary that they've done for the last year?
Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, whitefieldsalaska.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you today.